It's the Go Gopher Podcast with Mike Grimm, episode number 25. I am Mike Grimm, voice of the Golden Gophers, and welcome back to the podcast. Summer workouts are now well underway for both the Golden Gopher men's and women's basketball teams. This week on the podcast, we're talking men's basketball with head coach Ben Johnson. He was the very first guest ever on the Go Gopher Podcast back in January. He returns now to episode number 25 to give us a midsummer update on the team. Tell us about the newcomers, the recruiting trail, the summer schedule, and yes, unfortunately, the injury situation involving forward Parker Fox of Matamidi. Heartbreaking news on his season-ending knee injury. He suffered that this past Monday during a summer practice. Ben Johnson is our guest on episode number 25. Our Go Gopher podcast is presented by alumni-owned Sunbelt Business Advisors and True North Mergers and Acquisitions. If you're a business founder planning to exit your business, start by contacting Sunbelt Business Advisors and True North Mergers and Acquisitions. Sunbelt serves more businesses up to $5 million in revenue than anyone, and True North M&A serves companies with revenues up to $150 million. Get a confidential, no-cost, no-obligation business valuation started today. Make the most of your life's work. Visit sunbeltminnesota.com or tnma.com today and tell Brian Slipka you heard all about it on the Go Gopher Podcast with Mike Grimm. Brian's a great guy. Our podcast is also sponsored by a big Gopher basketball fan, State Farm agent Tony Hoagland at ChamplinInsurance.com. Before we get to the Big Ten and Golden Gopher basketball, though, I want to once again invite you, our listeners of the podcast, to be part of a new feature on the Go Gopher podcast. We'll run it periodically. We'll call it the mailbag segment. You can tweet to me any question you want about the Gophers, about broadcasting, about Minnesota, any interviews we've done on the Go Gopher podcast, or anything else you want to know about. We'll try to get to a few questions every few weeks. We'll answer the best ones here on the Go Gopher podcast. So if you want to be part of the first group of questions in the coming weeks, start sending me questions on Twitter. You can do so by tweeting directly at me. My handle is MikeGrimm3. Or easier, you can hashtag the question with Go Gopher Podcast. Again, either MikeGrimm3 or hashtag Go Gopher Podcast. We'll answer questions every few weeks throughout these summer months on the weekly show. Again, MikeGrimm3 or hashtag Go Gopher Podcast. We also invite you to subscribe to the podcast. It's free. You can click the subscribe button and listen at any time. You can also go back to listen to our previous shows. That includes last week's podcast. It was one of my favorite interviews of all time. Gopher football player Mariano Sorry-Marin gave us a summer workout preview on football. He ran down his top 10 restaurants in Minnesota and told the incredible story of how his father's family came to the U.S. from Cuba back in the 1960s. I encourage you to go back and listen to that one if you haven't. I'd also invite you to offer feedback on the podcast, and please share or retweet links to the Go Gopher podcast so others can find out about it and listen for free as well. When we come back, we're going to talk Golden Gopher basketball with head coach Ben Johnson. First, a word from Tony.
Hey Gopher fans, this is your State Farm agent, Tony Hoagland. We are super excited to be part of the new Mike Grimm Show on Talk North. For the year of 2022, we will be donating $10 to the University of Minnesota Children's Masonics Hospital for everyone that calls our office or checks in with us online and mentions that they heard about us on Talk North and the Mike Grimm Show. We are really excited again that Mike came on board with Talk North. You can reach us at 763-421-4900. You can find us on the web at ChamplinInsurance.com. Again, 763-421-4900 or find us on the web at ChamplinInsurance.com. Roll the boat, Sky Uma, go Gophers.
It's episode 25, the Go Gopher podcast. I guess we call it the Silver Anniversary Edition. And we bring back guest number one for this special edition, Ben Johnson, Gopher men's basketball coach. We are in East Lansing, Michigan, if you remember that, sitting in that hotel lobby and cranking out the first ever episode. And here we are 25 episodes later.
I remember that was on the extended road trip we had.
Was that the Indiana
to Michigan State? It was the Indiana-Michigan State swing. Yeah.
And then we got a few guys sick.
We hit the COVID
after that. Yeah, that was
the spreader.
That trip got us a little bit in trouble, right? With some illness, and it was hard to shake the rest of the year. But that was leading into the Rutgers game, which was maybe the most fun day we had all year, right? In terms of games,
it was. We were just talking about that the other day, and how we won it in the fashion that we won it with Sean making that big time defensive play. God, it seems like a long time ago.
It's like 5 years ago sometimes, right? Luke Lowy hit all those threes that day. And I remember we were
getting ready to tape the interview, and you were kind of telling me, yeah, we're, this guy's out, and Jameson doesn't have COVID, but he's out. And I'm like, holy cow, this could be a long day, but the dude stepped up, yeah, all of them.
I'm pretty sure Trayton?
He played all 40.
Played 40?
Yeah.
And CD must have played 37, yeah. 38.
Yeah.
And that was the Iron Five that day.
That was a fun day, no doubt. Well, as you and I are talking, where you're sitting at your desk, we're at the Athletes Village. We look to where we're at out to the right, and you're having some summer workouts with the guys. And how is that going so far? It's probably good to just get back in and coaching them up, right?
Yeah, it's been really good. We're just beginning our second week. It's good to get the freshmen acclimated to just college basketball. It's good to get the new transfers in here and get them acclimated to college basketball and kind of how we do things. And you have new energy and new life and new excitement. So it makes for a fun gym.
You got, what, about eight new guys, right? Four yeah. freshmen, a couple of transfers, and different guys in there. I guess seven, maybe? Seven or eight?
Yep, four freshmen, three transfers. Three transfers. It is new, you know, and the four freshmen is different because, you know, the transfers like we had last year, they had been around college basketball.
Right.
So it was different, but it wasn't drastically different. Whereas now you're trying to teach four new freshmen, just even the intensity level and the mindset that you have to have for a workout or for a weight room session. Just takes a little bit of time. But again, that's also the fun part when you get to work with those guys from ground one, really.
I would think too, with the guys you brought in last year, with the experience they had, that was helpful in the sense that they probably understood some of those things, the intensity, and you kind of picked guys that you knew would fit with what you were expecting. So that maybe served as some benefit in games. Is there now on the flip side of that, these guys, you get to kind of mold them. You got, you know, hopefully 4 years, maybe five, depending with some of these guys, you know. Obviously, if some are good enough to leave early and move on to pro hoops, great too. Yeah. But if you get, you know, 4 or 5 years and you can mold them, I mean, how exciting is that to look forward to also?
It definitely is. You know, again, you're getting those guys at the stage one, ground one level. So you are able to mold them. You're able to, you know, kind of create their habits. Obviously, you want those all to be good ones. And so that's why I think the culture piece is so important, where you want those guys to come into an environment where the table has already been set in terms of how you go about your work and how you operate on a day-to-day basis as a part of the Gopher men's basketball team. And so I think, you know, from last year, that was something great that those guys left, was a template of this is how we move here. Mm-hmm. And so now these guys have come in and they're all egoless. They're willing workers, they're sponges, and they're going to adapt and do what the culture has them do. And it's the fun part, because now you're going to be able to see them truly grow from 18 years old to, you know, yeah. 20, 21, 22, and see that whole maturation process. And that is fun. It's always fun.
Is there, what is the benefit, too, of having them in before the real, quote-unquote, school year starts, where I'm assuming maybe a couple of them taking a few summer classes just to get that part under their belt? I mean, I'm guessing when you played, did you guys have, you know, or enroll early and those kind of things in the summer? Was that just starting then?
Yeah, so when I played, coaches, they had to be hands off in the summertime. So you would still come because you could do strength and conditioning. Mm-hmm. And so you still do that. And then obviously, you know, you'd work out on your own. But you could also play pickup. So that was the big thing, was yeah. like, you know, you're getting with your teammates, you're having those runs, you're playing maybe in a summer league that was going on, but we didn't have we're allowed necessarily to have the organized structure that these guys have now.
Right.
And every year since it's been implemented, it feels like, you know, we're getting a little bit more hours and a little bit more hands-on. So now you can really take advantage of these 8 weeks, and you can really, you know, do whatever you want to. You can do skill development plus practice. You can do all practice. I mean, you could put your stuff in, just depending on how you want to move as a coach. So it's super beneficial. You know, on top of that, it's a chance for especially the freshmen to experience a college campus with less pressure academically, and to kind of feel their way around and get habits, so that in the fall when they have a bigger load with school that they're able to manage it and it's not as overwhelming. And then hopefully they do a really good job and you got a GPA cushion.
Yeah.
So like now you're not battling, you know, eligibility or not battling or and trying to work your way up, you know, you should have a good base GPA wise that gets you on the right foot.
Yeah, trying to do homework on 5-day road trips. Although I guess the one was when there was no school in session right over the holiday, but all that stuff, right? And I would think too, even for you, given that it's different and you guys are allowed more, it's a bittersweet thing because I'm guessing you wouldn't mind, you know, because everything gets thrown on the head coach's plate, your assistants as well. More stuff. Oh, you can meet with the team more. Oh, that's great. But okay, that's one less day that I might have to, you know, go do something on my own, right? Yeah. I mean, you guys are busy now 12 months a year, and it continues to stack up. So I suppose it's good and bad news from that standpoint. You get to work with these guys, but maybe a little less time with whatever you want to do in your free time.
Yeah, no, it definitely obviously takes at the time and eats at the time, but at the same time, you know, we enjoy doing it. And so, you know, any chance, again, that you can get with your team early. You know, normally before this, it's like it's almost like it was Christmas and you couldn't open the presents, right?
Right.
And they're here on campus. And it was like so frustrating because you can see them every day, but you can never work with them. And now it's like, okay, if they're going to be here, well, then, yeah, why wouldn't we want to spend as much time with them and work with them and be hands-on with them? So from that standpoint, you know, it's always good. It's always fun. You know, you're able to kind of, you know, in a less pressure situation, because there's obviously not games, you can experiment a little bit. You can test stuff out, which is always good from a head coaching standpoint. You know, if there's an idea that you had from last year, you want to throw it in there and see how it looks. You have the ability to do that, and you don't feel like your back's against the wall. You're under a time crunch as you do in the fall.
Is there what is the schedule then? What will it kind of look like from now as we talk here in the middle of June up until the opener in November? What you know, I know summer, and then do they get a little time off before the school year starts?
Yeah, so we're allowed 8 weeks from the NCAA to do our summer program. So we'll go all the way, and I try to stretch it out. We start a little bit late in June, and I'll stretch it out till the second week in August. Mm-hmm. So now those guys will be able to go home for 2.5 weeks, and then we bring them back that last week in August. New students have new student orientation. That's the first home football game, so we want them around for that. And then we will start workouts after the holiday when we've been in classes. So, you know, they have a pretty active, pretty busy summer, you know, but what you don't want is to make it feel like for these guys that it's a year-round thing. So I do, when we work, we work. But then when you have time off, I want guys to get away and take time off so that when they come back, they're fresh.
When do you get to go do something you want to do?
This year will be, barring something crazy, hopefully August. Yeah. You gotta get away. And I told the same thing for my staff. You know, we've got to be able to get away at least for a week or so and just kind of recharge and refresh, you know, especially now that, you know, we got a loaded roster. And you know, this year, you know, we're going to be able to attack it. And so now it's like I want guys that when they're back to be back fresh and energized and ready to roll.
It used to be that July was a big AAU time. Is that still the case or is that switched? July
is so
they'd be traveling then too probably?
Yeah, they've added June and July. So we've always had the spring. We can go out 2 weekends in June, and then July is the bigger one because you just get more time. You get Wednesday to Sunday on 2 different weeks.
Yeah.
So
how big is that to just be exposed to players and talk to people, and whether it's coaches, you know, what can you do and can't you do in terms of trying to establish those important relationships, probably at all age levels now, right?
Yeah, no, it's good because, you know, hopefully you're able to maybe see a couple of the young, talented kids in classes that are maybe, like, you know, coming up. So maybe some 24s and 25s. With the class you're recruiting, it's really FaceTime. You know, you're showing these kids that they're priority. You're being at their games. You're being visible. You know, now for me being a head coach, selfishly, you know, I like to see other coaches on the road because I can pick their brain. And, you know, you can ask questions, whether it's, you know, hey, how did you guys do your 8-week summer session? Was there something that somebody did that I think is really cool and beneficial? Well, I can do that next year. Or, you know, if I know we're going to play a certain way, I might seek out a guy that kind of plays that way and pick his brain on, you know, how'd you implement it? What were the stages? Any drills that you liked that you thought really taught it? I love that. And I think it's coaches have been in our profession historically really good at, you know, expanding the game and being selfless from that standpoint. But it's a great opportunity to again gain knowledge from guys that have done it for a long time and kind of pick their brain.
I think you and I joked about this one time earlier in a show. Maybe it was one of the coaches' shows that at a lot of those events, the assistant coaches kind of hang out, and then the head coaches kind of hang out, and then you kind of the assistants kind of grumble about their bosses. And so now you're the boss. So how does that work? Are you hanging out with a different group of people now in July at these gyms?
Yeah, you got a different group. No, I still got some friends that are assistants, but it allows me to slide over to the head coach's table every once in a while, and those guys will listen to me. But yeah, no, that's the fun of it. You establish relationships with guys across the country at different levels, different leagues, and it is fun to, you know, be able to go out to dinner with a guy and again reconnect and maintain those kind of coaching relationships.
The summer workouts here underway at Minnesota, and you had mentioned this week as we record this podcast in the middle of the week, you got some bad news with injury-wise, heartbreaking, really. And I don't know what the extent or if there's any updates, but Parker Fox injured the other knee after working so hard, and it was fun to watch him work and have fun while he was working. And you know, he was kind of an emotional piece of this team last year. So, can you give us any update with him and how you know, how he's handling it and how you're handling it and how kind of heartbreaking that is? And then also the callous part of it is like, okay, you got to move on with the rest of the group.
Yeah, I think first off, you know, you feel for Parker. I think I told the team, you know, there's only a handful of guys that were here last year that saw the work that he put in to get his body to this point. And the tireless hours that he spent doing rehab, doing strength and conditioning, that got him to a place where he felt really comfortable and really good and was ready to roll and was excited. And then to see it happen on a fluke injury, a fluke play, it kills you because you just know the type of effort and the type of competitor, and you know, he made the move to transfer it so he could play here,
right?
And at the end of the day, you know, and to not have that opportunity now going on for the second year is tough. But if there's a kid that can handle adversity a lot like Eric, it's Parker. You know, he's got a good way about him. He's able to flip the narrative, and he's able to, you know, go through the process because he's mentally tough. And that's one thing I talked to him about today even was there's good and bad with, you know, having this injury. The good and the bad is that he knows what's up. He knows what's coming. The bad part is he knows what's coming, you know, and now you have that mental battle. And I told him, because of that, you just got to worry about the day-to-day. You can't look at the calendar and say, oh, man, I got another 5 months. I got another 6 months. There's another 7 months. You have to just worry about, you know what? I attacked it today. I got my rehab. I got better today. I'm going to worry about tomorrow when tomorrow comes. Okay. So it's a little bit more manageable. But that is going to be the challenge for him. You know, he tore his ACL almost the exact same way on the other knee.
Jeez.
And, you know, it's frustrating. I told him it sucks. It's okay to own that and to come to grips with that. But you know, he's going to have to do what he's got to do after surgery to get mentally right and get better. And then same thing with our team. It sucks to lose a guy like Parker. It sucks to lose his experience, his physicality, his competitiveness, but nobody feels sorry for us. You know, nobody cares. And now we've got to be able to regroup. And I just told our guys that it's an opportunity for other guys to step up. But then it's also now there's an expectation. Somebody's got to replace his physicality. We got to do that as parts and as a whole. And, you know, replace his competitiveness, his fire, his energy. And I think we will, but we've got to work on that every day.
And I'm sure, you know, the outcome, so to speak, in terms of how quickly you can come back is, you know, the medicine is getting better with those. Is there, you know, I suppose surgery's coming soon, but is there a chance that at some point, maybe late in the year, he could offer this team some minutes on the floor?
Yeah, I'm going to approach it just like last year.
Yeah.
If he's able to, without taking shortcuts that put him in danger, then great. I think we almost got to look at it as worst case scenario where he's probably not going to be with it this year. I just want to make sure we do right by him and that he doesn't feel there's an expectation of him to come back. And that's it. The only expectation is for you to get right and get healthy and you know, again, if that's at the end of this year, great. If it's not till next year, then it is what it is. But we owe that to him to give him his due time and let him go through the process the right way. And then, you know, got to let the chips fall where they may, kind of.
Yeah, man, just a heartbreaker because he was, you know, so excited to be back. And he was looking good, right? I mean, he was even late last year. I was watching some of the shoot-arounds and different things. And, I mean, he's jumping to the top of the backboard and doing different things. So I know that, you know, he was counting on being a big piece of this resurgence, right?
Yeah, no, he was. And again, the mental piece, you know, some people, if you haven't been hurt or you haven't played in sports, the mental piece to get over and get in the right mind frame is so much harder than the physical piece. And he was mentally finally in it, where I don't think he was thinking about the knee when we were practicing. And so it's like, you know, the minute that you finally cross that last hurdle, bam, you know, adversity hits. So that's the tough part. But again, you know, I just told him, you know, you're a tough dude. You've been through it. You know, there's no reason why you can't go through it again. And again, he's got a great outlook on it. And I expect him to attack it and come back and be just as strong as he was before.
And then you mentioned, I mean, there is that pragmatic side. You mentioned the message of the team is, you know, the rest of us have to pick up. Is there, from that standpoint, too, is it too late here in June to scramble and maybe find a kid out there in the portal that could potentially offer some help? I mean, the good news is I think you have some good depth at that, you know, at the front court a little bit more than last year, but is that maybe a possibility too?
Yeah, there's a possibility. I mean, we've looked at every possible angle, and we will continue. I think it's my job. I have to put together the best team possible for us to compete. And so, you know, we gotta look under every single possibility, whether that's a transfer, international, late high school, somebody in the portal, somebody to reclass. You know, we owe it to this program to do that. So, you know, we will. And if it makes sense, then we'll move on it. And if it doesn't make sense, then we won't. I think the biggest thing you have to look at is it can't be, you know, a short-term fix for a long-term problem.
Right.
Meaning, you know, I don't want to make a knee-jerk reaction or take a guy, and then all of a sudden it's like, okay, it might help us in the short term, but then it's going to put us in a bind with kids in the 24 class or the kids in the 23 class, especially the 23 class, which is going to sign in the fall. You don't want to, you know, you take a kid, and then all of a sudden the kid in the 23 looks at it and goes, well, wait a minute.
Right.
You just got this kid. Well, he plays my same position. Or how does that affect the depth chart now for years to come? And so you just got to be smart, and you got to look at the total piece, and at the same time, you know, be able to put the best team together on the court to win games.
I say this a little jokingly, but I think it was about a year ago this time, you and Eric Curry discussed him coming out of retirement. He does have a year left. Is that discussion to be had yet?
Didn't call him. I did not call him. I think Eric's in a really good spot. You know, he's got a couple job opportunities here coming
nice,
up.
Nice, yeah.
But I don't think him nor I have the time to go down that route again. There's a good chance that Eric has not got a sweat in or ran faster than a walk since the end of the year. So that might be a little bit too big of a hill to climb.
He could offer, unfortunately, he had gone through almost the identical deal. So at a minimum, he could maybe offer his former teammate Parker some insight onto what, you know, I mean, as you mentioned, Parker's gone through it now with one knee, but to do it again, I mean, that was probably, you know, Eric's biggest achievement was to do what he did and then be a dude. I mean, he came back and was a factor.
Yeah. No, and they've actually talked about it. And there's him, you know, you got in our league too, Robbie Hummel, who's kind of been through the same thing. We talked about Clay Thompson with Parker. Because I think it's good for him to see examples of people that have had similar hurdles to overcome, that have been able to overcome them, and you continue to do what you love to do. And so I think that'll help just with, you know, it's been done before. This is not like something that's mission impossible. And obviously EC, you know, knowing him and knowing Parker's personality and Parker knowing him, I think will be a really good voice as he continues through the process.
All right, let's talk about some of these newcomers. We got about 10 minutes left here on the podcast. Just give me your, you know, you've seen him now for 2 weeks. You knew some of these guys. I think of a Dawson Garcia. I mean, you've known him since what? He was about a 10th or 9th grader maybe. So you know a little bit, but now you have him in your gym. What, we'll start with him, Dawson Garcia. What do you see here after a couple of weeks from him?
blue collar, hard worker, enjoys the grind, enjoys the process, no ego, and competitive, talented. Great teammate, guys love him. He fits into what we're about and what we do perfectly. And he's definitely a nice added piece of size, length, and talent.
Yeah, and people look at, you know, McDonald's All-American, hometown guy. Like, is this a guy that can splash with some big impact right away, do you think?
Potentially, you know, but at the same time, I've told him I don't want him to feel the weight of the world.
Right.
I don't want him to feel like everything's on his shoulders now, especially with Parker out. I don't want him to feel like there's an expectation of, man, you got to jump in right away and be 17, 18 points off the bat. You know, he's obviously got to be productive for us, but more importantly, he's got to be productive and consistent. And I think he's productive and consistent, and he gets better and he does what he does. All that stuff will take care of itself. But he doesn't need to feel the weight of the world that, you know, we go as he goes. He's a nice piece. He's just got to be consistent with his effort and his play.
And if he gives you 18 tonight, great, but it's got to be in his style and your style, right? It can't be a forced situation. Right.
Yeah, no, I'd definitely take 18. If he wants to give 18, we'll take 18 all day. But, yeah, it's going to come in the confines of what we do, and he understands that. And like I said, he's been great. He's been awesome. He's about the right stuff.
All right, we'll go through these quickly here. Talon Cooper, tell us about him.
Big time floor general. He's a connector. He's got a great way about him. Teammates love him. They trust him. They have belief in him. And he's really good. You know, I think he's one of the better pick and roll players in the country, especially that were available in the portal. He's got good size. He can make every single pass. He's a willing passer. He can make a jump shot. You know, really excited about the direction that he can help take our team. But more importantly, just who he is as a man. You can't put a price tag on guys like that that run the locker room, mm-hmm. and guys that bring the other players together, and a guy that everybody loves to play with. I think that's special.
Yeah, and my spies tell me he's already kind of taken that leadership role.
Yeah, no,
in a short time, right?
Yeah, he just kind of has a way about him and a presence where people are drawn to him, and I think he's a natural leader. So yeah, no, in a short period of time, he's been able to put his stamp on that and early.
Yeah, that's great. All right, how about Taurus Samuels, who will kind of play a similar spot, right?
Yeah, similar to Talon in terms of, you know, leader. You know, he's a natural leader. You know, he's a guy that's been put in leadership roles. You know, whether it was on campus at Dartmouth or in the locker room at Dartmouth, you know, he's a positive, you know, aggressive in terms of personality, in terms of demeanor, in a good way. You know, he is everyone's biggest cheerleader. He's nonstop talking when we get in workouts. You know, he wants his group to be the best group of the day, kind of that iron sharpens iron mentality, which is what you need. You know, he's willing to push guys, and he does it in the right way. And he's vocal, and he's got experience. I think that's the other thing too, is it's a guy that's been around it, that's been productive, that's put up good numbers, and that the younger guys can look up to as a really good example of just how to conduct yourself.
Dartmouth guy must be smart too, huh?
Smartest guy in the room.
That's always good to have a guy, right?
Yeah, no, I appreciate it.
Yeah, for sure. Stay in the backcourt. Braden Carrington, freshman, state champion here locally. What are you seeing from him so far?
Consistency. You know, I think that's the biggest thing with freshmen is he's been pretty consistent and hasn't been over a long period of time because we just haven't been going that far. But for what we've done, that's been the most impressive part. And I think him winning the state championship has given him a different level of confidence, which is good. He carries himself the right way. He can really shoot it. He knows how to play. And I told all those freshmen, you know, their biggest job this summer is just to learn and grow. And figure out how hard you have to play. And he's done a great job of all that.
I would guess for a lot of freshmen, consistency isn't the first thing that comes. So that's a good sign, I would think.
Yeah, it's a great sign. And I just think it's because he knows what he is. And he doesn't try to do too much. And he kind of lives in his box. And when you do that, you end up being more consistent.
Let's see. Joshua Ola Joseph. What do we see from him?
Josh is kind of a Swiss Army knife. You know, he's not a true post up. He's not a true perimeter. He's kind of a mesh of both. Unreal athleticism. He's got really good length. He's powerful. He's strong. He's another kid that's a worker. He's really, really, really good defensively. I think that's where his niche is going to be early, is defensively. He can really guard and guard at a high level, 1 through 4. And so now you combine that with his athleticism and his strength. He's gonna put himself in an opportunity to try to compete right away because he physically can do it. So Josh will be excited to learn with and grow because he's really talented.
Mm-hmm. Jaden Henley, let's hear from about him a little bit.
Yeah, Jaden. Not many people obviously have had the chance to see him being out of state in California, but Jaden's upside is through the roof. It's one of the reasons why I really wanted to recruit him, and so thankful we got him here. Like the other four freshmen, just great kid. You know, goes about the right way, no ego, but he's got, you know, 6'6" frame. He's going to be, you know, physically strong, especially by the end of the summer. He's got a great IQ, feel, skill set. He can shoot it. He's got a good handle. I think he's a kid that, you know, down the line could be really impactful for our team. And again, he's got just the measurables that you can't teach. And he's got that, you combine that with the skill level that he has. I think he's a big time sleeper in this class.
Is he a multi-positional guy too?
Yeah. He'll be all over the place. Yep. Yeah. 1, 2, 3. I mean, he can do a plethora of things. Cause again, he's so skilled.
Farrell Payne, another local kid. And I remember you talking to me about him over a year ago, maybe 2 years ago. And I remember you saying, I hope we can get him early because people are going to want to jump in, and you did, and people did want to jump in, and he stayed, and here he is. So now, after that as the backdrop, how has he been here?
He's been great. He has been great. He's a lot like Bam from Miami. Just athletic, powerful, strong. He might arguably in our weight room be already one of the top, you know, three guys on our team as far as strength. I mean, he's just built like freaking Chris Webber. But, you know, again, another guy that's really skilled. I mean, you can play through him in the elbows. He can dribble, pass, and shoot. He'll be special. I really believe that down the line at some point. And again, another guy that just trusts the work and trusts the process and is not ego driven. I mean, he just wants to get better. He just puts his head down and wants to get better. And he's got great examples that encourage that. And hopefully he'll continue to be who he is and get better every day.
Permit me one quick one here. Isaiah Enan, because it's almost like in, you know, they say in the big leagues, when a guy comes back from injury, it's like making a trade at the trade deadline, right? You've added a piece here. How is his recovery? And what do you see from Isaiah, who fans have seen before, of course?
Yeah. No, Isaiah's been, he's been great too. You know, he's had a great attitude through this whole process of last year going through the rehab. He's had a great attitude this spring and summer with just being energetic to be in the gym. I know he's missed it. Now he's able to play 5-on-5, so he's thriving in that. You know, I think with Isaiah, it's all about the mentality piece. You know, he's got all the tools. He's got the size. He's got the versatility. He can do just about anything on the court, offensively and defensively. And now it's about, you know, how mentally tough can you be? And if he can get really mentally tough, I think he's got a chance to really, really be impactful for this team and play basketball for many years to come at a high level. If that wavers, you know, then that could prevent him from doing some things. And we've had those honest talks, and he knows it. And so now the challenge of this summer is how much can you push yourself mentally to be mentally tough where nothing phases you? You know, you could go 0-for-3. You're going to take that fourth shot because you know you're going to make it. Mm-hmm. You know, you're gonna get that defensive stop because you know that's what you do. So that'll be the challenge. But I love everything that he brings to the table.
You have recruits on campus, so we better let you go. I do want to ask you last one. Now that you have a framework that you can show recruits, how has that changed the message from maybe a year ago at this time when you first got the job?
It's helped a lot because now there's proof in the pudding. You know, you're not just throwing. This will be, you can actually show them factual data and film and numbers, and, you know, players can discuss things they saw when they came to games. Families can, hey, I remember coming to the Rutgers game and seeing it. And, you know, you talk about family and guys being great teammates. We saw that on the bench, and it's just more real. And I think it gives confidence to a lot of families, hopefully. And so, you know, we're going to try to obviously use that. It's a lot easier to recruit when you've got a year under your belt and people kind of know what you're trying to do in the direction of your program.
Very good. Awesome to see you. Thank you. Have a good summer.
Appreciate it. Thanks, man.
There he is. Our thanks to Gopher men's basketball coach Ben Johnson, who was kind enough to host me in his office at Athletes Village this week on campus. I hope you enjoyed hearing from the head coach. It's Go Gopher Podcast, episode 25. The Go Gopher Podcast is presented by Sunbelt Business Advisors and True North Mergers and Acquisitions. If you're buying or selling a business, visit SunbeltMinnesota.com or TNMA.com. We're also sponsored by State Farm agent Tony Hoagland. Brandon Morton is our producer and technical expert. Again, I'd invite you to listen to past podcasts. Please be sure to click the subscribe button right now. It's absolutely free to listen at any time. And please share the link on your social media channels. And don't forget, get me your questions for an upcoming mailbag segment. Hit me with those questions on Twitter at MikeGrim3 or hashtag GoGopherPodcast. We'll talk again next week.